Hi, welcome back to the Holistic Women's Health Podcast. On this episode, we're talking all things ovulation, natural birth control, fertility awareness method, reasons why you may not be ovulating, how to start ovulating again with lifestyle, with nutrition, with supplements, especially post-birth control if you have no clue what's happening with your cycle, and then whether you're trying to get pregnant or avoid pregnancy, this is the episode for you. Lots of education. The big reason why I wanted to do this topic is because almost on a daily basis, I get questions over Instagram or with my clients who are coming off of birth control and either wanting to get pregnant or avoid pregnancy and wondering if they're even ovulating, what their natural cycle looks like, wondering all about the phases of their menstrual cycle, and just generally and genuinely want more information about what's going on in their body. In order to understand ovulation, which is that moment where you can get pregnant, we're going to go over the four phases pretty quickly. Just in case all this information is new to you, there isn't just the bleeding phase. We start with the bleeding phase or the menstrual phase, and this would be day one. This phase is considered winter. Your menstrual phase can last anywhere, typically from 3 to 7 days. If it's outside of that range, if it's under 3 or more than 7, definitely reach out to me and schedule a free consultation because something is going on with your hormones. So when you hear someone saying, I have a 28-day cycle or a 32-day menstrual cycle, what you're doing is counting those days. Day one starts from the first full bleed, not the spotting, but the first full bleed until the next day of bleeding. So all those days in between, that is how long your entire cycle is. After the menstrual phase, we move into something called the follicular phase. And this is known as your spring phase as you're coming out of winter, entering into spring, things are warming up. You're getting your energy back. You're feeling like yourself again. You want to make plans again. You're getting creative. You want to try new things. And this phase is typically 7 to 10 days. Then after that, we move into ovulation. This is the main star of the show, and you can think of ovulation like summertime. It's getting warm out. Your body is physically warming up. You're feeling more open. You want to schedule plans, date nights. You're more outgoing. So those effects can last anywhere typically from 3 to 5 days, but that ovulation window of pregnancy is only 12 to 24 hours, a singular day. So that's ovulation, just one day. One day you can get pregnant. After ovulation, we move into the luteal phase, which is considered fall, more when you're turning inwards. You might experience more PMS symptoms. So whether you experience any mood changes, if you feel like nesting and you just want to clean and organize your entire house, you want to sort out all those files, go through all the photos on your phone, delete old photos, that's typically the emotions that you experience in the luteal phase or luteal phase, however you want to pronounce it. And this lasts typically 10 to 14 days. So a quick recap: menstrual, follicular, ovulation, and luteal, the four phases of your menstrual cycle. And of course, today's topic, we are diving deeper into ovulation. On average, ovulation will happen 2 weeks before your period. So if your cycle is normally 21 days long, let's say, then you'll typically ovulate around day 7. 21 minus 14, those 2 weeks, is 7. If your cycle is on the longer side, let's say 35 days, then you'll typically ovulate around day 21. Right before ovulation, there's a surge in something called LH, luteinizing hormone, which causes the dominant follicle to burst open and release its egg into the fallopian tube. This egg will survive 12 to 24 hours, and if it's not fertilized, it will disintegrate. And that's what pregnancy is. Pregnancy happens during ovulation, and it is that egg that is released from the fallopian tube that survives that 12 to 24 hours. That very small, teeny tiny little window, that is your fertile window, and that is ovulation. And although the egg only lasts 12 to 24 hours, it's important to keep in mind that if you're not using protection like condoms, the body can hold on to sperm for about 5 days. What I tell my clients is typically start tracking, which I will talk about next, for your ovulation so that you can predict when you'll be ovulating. And then either you'll want to aim for that window if you're trying to get pregnant, or avoid that window if you're not trying to get pregnant. If you're not trying to get pregnant, absolutely avoid those 5 days at least before that ovulation window and 2 days after, so 7 days total, just to be sure that you're in the clear. In order to see whether or not you're ovulating, I love using the fertility awareness method, which is a type of natural birth control, which we'll dive deeper into, and something called LH strips or ovulation strips. You can get them at your local pharmacy. You can get them on Amazon. You can typically get a pack of 50 or 100 for pretty inexpensive. And then what you do is you would just take those strips, dip them in a urine sample, and then it can confirm ovulation for you. I like combining that with some of the methods in fertility awareness method. I personally track my temperature in an app called Kindara and then my cervical fluid in an app called Clue. With correct use, fertility awareness method is 95 to 99% effective, but that's with correct use. So it does take some time and some dedication to learn, but if you're doing it correctly and you're doing it regularly, it can be quite effective. So something to keep in mind there is it only works as well as you do. To break down fertility awareness method in a little bit more detail, there's three fertility markers that you would be tracking. Number one is cervical fluid or cervical mucus. Number two is cervical position. And number three is your temperature. Starting off with number one, cervical fluid. This is the vaginal discharge that is totally and completely normal to experience all different types throughout the cycle. At some points, it'll be more dry. At other points, it will change. When you're not ovulating, post-period, when your hormones are on the low end, you are typically more dry. As we move closer and closer to ovulation, as estrogen begins to rise, the cervical fluid becomes more creamy, milky, and white in color. Then as you're ovulating, you will start to notice that your cervical fluid becomes more slippery, stretchy, and watery, kind of like an egg white consistency. After ovulation, as progesterone begins to rise, this fluid becomes thicker with a more sticky, tacky and pasty texture that can kind of look like lotion. So during ovulation, when it's more slippery, this makes it easier to bring the sperm up to the egg. And then post-ovulation, when it gets thicker, sticky, tacky, it makes it harder for the sperm to get through. So your body is naturally going through all these different changes. If you're currently on the birth control pill, you likely aren't experiencing any of these changes because your hormones stay the same all throughout your cycle. But when you come off birth control, you will definitely notice a change in all sorts of different types of cervical fluid. And like I said, it's totally normal. And it's a great indicator to see which phase you're in and whether you are fertile or not. So that's one of the things you'll be tracking in fertility awareness method if you choose to. What I like to tell my clients is just start to notice every day as you go to the bathroom, as you're wiping, just start to pay attention to what your cervical fluid is looking like. Whether it's dry, whether it's more slippery or egg white, creamy or milky. If you wear underwear, it'll show up in your underwear as well. So it's quite easy to track. It doesn't have to be complicated. The next thing you will track for fertility awareness method is cervical position. When you're ovulating, your cervix moves up higher and becomes more soft, wet, and open. Kind of like if you were to touch the Cupid's bow on the top of your lip, on that top lip there, that's what it would feel like. And then after ovulation, during your luteal phase, when you're no longer fertile, your cervix will typically feel firm, low, and closed, kind of like the tip of your nose. So you touch the tip of your nose and go back and forth between your Cupid's bow and your nose, so that top of your lip back to your nose. The way you check your cervix is just as if you're inserting a tampon or a menstrual cup, but instead of using the tampon or the menstrual cup, you would use your pointer finger and your middle finger. And the last part of fertility awareness method to track is your temperature. You can do this with a simple BBT thermometer or basal body temperature thermometer. And what you would do is put the thermometer under your tongue every morning as you wake up before doing anything else, before sitting up, before taking a drink of water, before going to the bathroom. If your alarm goes off, you'll roll over, turn off your alarm, grab your thermometer, and you can either put it under your tongue or your armpit as well, whatever's easiest for you. And then depending on the thermometer and the app that you use, some will transmit automatically. Some people prefer to look at the temperature and put it on paper. Some prefer an app. I use Kindara. There's also all sorts of smart technology now, like the Oura Ring, like Temp Drop or Daisy. There's tons of different ways you can track. So find what works for you. from menstruation to ovulation. So from the beginning of your cycle to about the middle of your cycle, your temperatures will be a bit lower, between 97 degrees and 97.7 Fahrenheit. And right after ovulation, your body temperature will rise slightly above 97.8 degrees and remain high for the rest of your cycle until, of course, you get your period, then it'll drop. If you're wondering what this looks like, I would recommend hopping on over to Google and typing in BBT chart, and then you'll be able to see all the temperatures and how exactly that looks. The rise in temperature is from a hormone called progesterone, which stimulates the growth of the uterine lining in order to prepare for pregnancy. And if you don't get pregnant, progesterone will drop and your basal body temperature will drop as well. And that is the beginning of your period. It's also important to keep in mind that temperature can change depending on how stressed you are, if your adrenals are shot, if your thyroid is out of whack, if you have medical conditions like PCOS. These can all alter your temperatures. So something important to keep in mind. That's why we track multiple things to confirm ovulation. And now if you're not ovulating, we want to dig deeper to see what is going on, what's happening with your hormones, what's happening with your body. Ovulation is not only important for pregnancy, if that's something that's important to you, but it's also important to prevent things like Alzheimer's disease down the line, poor memory, brittle bones, dry hair, dry skin, premature wrinkles, digestion, you name it. Ovulation is super, super important. Hormones are responsible for just about everything. These tiny little magical chemical messengers are responsible for tons of bodily processes that go on. We typically think of hormones just being responsible for our menstrual cycle, but it's so much more than that, and they all impact each other. And unfortunately, if you've been on the birth control pill for quite a long time, it may take a while to get ovulation back, as the way birth control works is by shutting down ovulation. And so it may take a few months to get the brain communicating back with your ovaries to get ovulation back online. Typically, my clients will notice a change in their cycle after coming off birth control around month 3. So that third period after coming off of birth control, they notice a change in how long their cycle is. They notice getting ovulation back and getting their mood back and feeling like themselves again, seeing what their natural cycle is like off of birth control. And some reasons why you may not be ovulating, first and foremost, could be illness. Any type of illness, big or small, if a cold, let's say, occurs before ovulation, it could delay or prevent ovulation from happening altogether. If you get a cold or some type of illness after you ovulate, then it will rarely affect your cycle for that particular cycle. Ovarian cysts are another big reason that I see in my practice that can prevent or delay ovulation. The next thing is travel. And as delightful as travel can be, it is also a stress on the body. The body still interprets it as a change in environment and a stress on the body, which could, again, delay or prevent ovulation in that cycle. Next would be exercise. If you're doing a lot of heavy, intense exercise, it has potential to delay or prevent ovulation completely. In most cases, we can see this in athletes, runners, swimmers, gymnasts, ballet dancers. Another reason could be weight gain or weight loss, and then stress and adrenal issues. And lastly, some other medical issues like hypothyroidism, PCOS, endometriosis, and primary ovarian insufficiency. And now I would love to talk about things we can do with nutrition, lifestyle, and supplements. Starting off with nutrition, I would recommend focusing on getting a lot of variety, a lot of color, fruits and veggies, fiber, and around 20 to 30 grams of protein, especially at breakfast, just to start off your day. So before reaching for your coffee, what I like to do is sip on some chocolate collagen just to get some protein in first thing in the morning, drink my water, have my breakfast, and then a coffee or a tea after that. Something I recommend to my clients all the time is FPFC, which is healthy fat, protein, fiber, and color at all your meals and snacks whenever possible. So if you're building a smoothie and you're adding strawberries, yogurt, and oat milk, I would suggest beefing it up a little bit in order to help balance your blood sugar. So I would add some protein powder to that. I would add maybe some flax or some chia seeds, maybe some greens in there. You can do spinach, kale, frozen cauliflower, frozen zucchini, whatever your heart desires. So FPFC, drink plenty of filtered water, making sure you're getting some healthy fats like avocado, olive oil, chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds. If you're working out a lot, make sure you're eating enough food and nourishing your body to compensate for the type of exercise that you're doing. And then limiting caffeine and alcohol, totally a personal choice. You may have done a lot of nervous system work, adrenal work. You've worked on your stress. You're all good, and coffee and alcohol don't really bother you. But if you're someone who's type A, go, go, go all the time, you're exhausted in the morning and then wired at night, just wide awake at 10 p.m., you can't fall asleep, you may need to work on healing stress and your nervous system. And a big part of that is limiting caffeine and alcohol. But again, these are all suggestions. Take it or leave it. And for lifestyle, we already talked about decreasing your stress. It's so easy for me to say, but I'm going to need you to do some deep work to figure out what you actually enjoy doing and what actually relieves your stress, whether it's yoga, meditation, walking, listening to podcasts, painting, taking a bath, snuggling with your pets, taking a little weekend vacay, hanging out with your friends, getting some perspective on things, going to therapy, hiking, reading. The list can go on and on and on, but find out what works for you. I also recently had a podcast guest. It was the episode on migraines. What she loves to do is listen to comedians. Another thing you may need to consider is switching your exercise from high intensity to a more gentle type of exercise, and then sleep. Getting at least 8 hours of sleep at night. Maybe 2024 is the year that you focus on your sleep. I know for a lot of my clients, this is something that's very easy to brush off, but it is very, very important. So if you're not getting 7 to 8, even 9 hours of sleep a night, maybe it's something that you need to go on a little self-care journey to figure out what works best for you in terms of sleep. Ideally, you're sleeping in a cool room with no lights, no light pollution. I love a good eye mask for sleeping, darkening blinds, no technology. All that will help facilitate a long, deep, lovely sleep. And then, speaking of light, getting some sunlight on your face in the first 90 minutes of waking up. This will help to reset your circadian rhythms. A fancy word for just your sleep and your wake cycle. This will help to decrease your stress levels by naturally producing your cortisol in the morning so you can naturally make melatonin, your sleepy hormone, at night. I did say hormones rule everything, and it's so true. They do. Melatonin and cortisol are two of your sleep and wake hormones. Melatonin for sleep, cortisol for being awake. And then at night, avoiding any blue light. Wear your blue blocking glasses, turn all the settings on your technology for the most orangey red screen that you possibly can stand. Turn on all the lamps, turn down any big overhead lights. All that will really help. Next thing I would recommend is avoiding any hormone disruptors, also known as xenoestrogens, as much as possible. You can scan your products in the Healthy Living app from EWG. And same thing with everything I'm recommending. You don't have to be 100% perfect. Just try your best to replace products as you naturally run out. And then minimizing toxins as much as possible, like smoking, harsh chemicals like bleach, perfumes, alcohol, all that stuff can impact your ovulation. And then last thing for lifestyle, looking for some emotional support can really help with ovulation as well. Now for some supplements that can help facilitate ovulation is vitamin B6, tribulus, red clover, shatavari or shatavari, vitex, also known as chaste tree, royal jelly, and something called maca. Now, these aren't going to be for everyone, depending on what medications you're taking. If you have conditions like PCOS, these aren't going to be ideal for everyone. So, of course, chat with whatever practitioner you're seeing to see if these particular supplements can help with your ovulation. And that's everything to know about ovulation, fertility awareness method. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you are looking to balance your hormones, come off the pill, come off of any type of birth control, balance your stress levels out, definitely reach out to me. Send me a message on Instagram at Nutrition Moderation, or you can also book in a free 15-minute call with me if you have any questions that you want answered, if you want to chat through anything. I do offer that free 15-minute call, and I do work with clients all over the world. Thank you so much for listening to this. If you did like this episode, feel free to share it with a friend. Subscribe, rate, review the podcast. You can visit me online at nutritionmoderation.com. I hope you're having the best day wherever you are, and I'll chat with you very soon.